best and less confusing and simplest way is just to go out there and find yourself a franchise consultant to help you out on that one. On that, just keep in mind that the franchise consultants do not charge clients for their services. We don't charge people. If they decide to, our clients decide to invest in a franchise, we introduce them to the franchisor, pays us a referral fee. Now, if you don't want to get a consultant, if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you want to go out there and do it yourself, it's going to be a little bit of a process to go through to find the franchises that are a good fit for you. Because there's a few things.
Hey, 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 we got the Real Estate Law Podcast with another episode right here. Jason Muth with Pride Away Stays and Straightforward Short-Term Rentals. Our resident attorney is here, our real estate attorney, Rory Gill. Rory, we're going to be talking about an interesting topic today that we have not covered on this podcast, which is franchises. And why does that make sense to talk about going into franchises, buying franchises, adding that to your investment portfolio? Because let's face it, people that are listening to this podcast, real estate investors, we're all looking for returns on our money, right? And sometimes it doesn't matter if that return is in real estate or a business that's tangentially related to real estate. We're looking for returns. We don't talk about Bitcoin or crypto or the stock market, although right now it's doing really well. But franchises fits right up what we want to talk about, right?
Right. So, you know, for those who are listening who are entrepreneurs at heart, who are looking for different ways to grow their wealth, build their wealth, and just kind of stay engaged, I'm glad that we're introducing this topic too. For those who follow us with Real Estate Matters, those who want to be entrepreneurs, listen up and we'll learn about franchises today.
Yeah. And we, you know, we heard from our guests, assistant or podcast booking service. We hear from a lot of different services. If you are a service or you're a guest and you work with them, please send them our way. We don't invite everybody on the podcast, but since we never talked franchises before and we loved your background, Greg, we thought that we're going to anoint you as the official franchise expert of the Real Estate Law Podcast. So this is Greg Moore out of which city in Missouri again?
Licking.
Really? L-I-C-K-I-N-G?
Yeah, just
all
like
right.
That.
Licking, Missouri. I've honestly never heard of Licking, Missouri, but I'm sure it's a lovely place. Yeah, it's very small. Greg works as a consultant or the owner, founder of Franchise Maven. Is that right?
That's correct.
And I see it right there on your shirt. Welcome to the Real Estate Law Podcast, Greg.
Jason and Rory, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
So franchises, you know, the one another reason why we wanted to do this is because a friend of Rory's and mine that we see on a pretty regular basis here in Newburyport, they're real estate investors and they are buying into a franchise, and it's not like a McDonald's or a Burger King or, you know, any of those quick service restaurants that you think of. They're buying, I believe they're purchasing a services company, like a handyman service company that has a certain territory in this area. And that's when the light bulb hit. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, you know, not only is that connected to the real estate investing he's doing, but he's looking to diversify his income streams and potentially get, you know, a franchise territory under his belt. Greg, is that a common thing that a real estate investor might do or should do when they contact you?
Absolutely, Jason. I get quite a few real estate investors that are looking to diversify out a little bit from there. When they start off with, they're most of the time they think, just like, you know, you and I see all these franchise businesses when we're out driving around, all the brick and mortar ones. So they're thinking that they want to diversify with, you know, another real estate type investment with a big brick and mortar place. They don't realize all the different services industries that are out there that are related, as you indicated, Jason, to the real estate world itself. So we look at handyman services, electrical services, plumbing services, restoration services. You have many different things that you can do on that. And I get quite a few real estate investors that aren't aware of that. And then when I make them aware and show them the different ones that are available out there, they're like, well, you know, I work with these folks all the time already anyway. So I kind of got a feeling for what the business is all about. So that's just, you know, perfect to add to my portfolio with my real estate business.
I think a lot of us are patronizing a lot of these local franchises without really even realizing it. You know, my past life working in the media business, I was in charge of digital ad sales for a large group of media radio stations and digital properties in Boston. We used to encounter local franchises all the time where people had a territory, whether it was gym owners or whether they were plumbers or whether they were roofers. And, you know, you can kind of sense it. You'd go to the website, and you put in your zip code, and then you'd see, you know, pages that are really well optimized for certain towns or certain territories where clearly part of the franchise agreement involves lead flow, where, you know, a lead is put into a form and then it goes out to either that franchisee directly, or it could be a lead generation service that goes to a number of them. So, you know, we all kind of have that familiarity with these types of businesses, but we might not even know it. So why don't you tell us, take us a step back, Greg, and tell us a little bit about, you know, just franchising in general. You don't have to tell us the history of franchising, but, you know, what is this space right now, and how is this an opportunity for people that are looking to make some money?
Well, first off, there are a couple of the biggest hurdles that people are looking at that they are not necessarily aware of, that the hurdles are just not there. So, Jason, what we're looking at there is the amount of money you have to invest to get into a franchise and the amount of time you need to invest to get into a franchise. So most of the people, when they come to me, they're thinking, you know, the McDonald's type thing where they're looking at $1 million and they're looking at a full-time business. And it's just simply not the case. So franchising is out there in just about every industry that you can think about. So you do have the two types. You have the brick and mortar franchise, and then you have the service industry franchise. So with the brick and mortar type franchise, you build it and they will come, is the general theme on that. Many different ones that you can do, not only full-time, but they also have semi-passive business models that people can get into as well. So you don't have to quit your day job or your other businesses, 10 to 15 hours a week, depending on your management skill and style. For the most part, on those ones, they can be operated that way. And they're generally, you know, $300,000 on that for the total investment, including the franchise fee. What a lot of folks don't realize is that on the other end of the spectrum, now we have the services industry franchise, like your friends are getting into the handyman services. And now you're looking at around $150,000, give or take, for a total investment, including the franchise fee on that, because you don't necessarily, or you won't need a brick and mortar place in an A-plus real estate location, a small office, work from home. You go out and see your clients. They don't necessarily come to see you, and they're not just going to be driving by, you know, downtown and saying, "Oh, you know, I need some handyman services. I should stop in that handyman store." On that, you need that when the need arises. You need a great franchise system that'll drive people to you at that time. On that, and you were alluding to Jason, the lead flow and that sort of thing. So a lot of the franchises out there will go out there and they will drive people to you, and they'll have that lead flow coming in, and they might field those leads when they first come in there. They might have that call center already in place for you. So they'll be making that first call to your leads that come in, setting up the appointments for you. So when you get up in the morning, or your manager, if you're running a semi-absentee, then you've got that people that you need to call upon. Go out there. They're looking for your service. They want your service. All you have to do is show up on time and show them this is what we can do for you. Very simple process.
I'm thinking about all the people that I might know that do these franchises. I know a friend of ours from a flag football league that Rory and I have been connected to in Boston. He has Ben and Jerry's franchises, like in the South. And I think he was not a hands-on operator until they got larger and they started buying more territories or more locations, and they moved down there to help operate it. Tell us about the type of people who are buying into franchises, because I know in what we hear about a lot in real estate investing podcast world is time freedom. You know, people want to be able to work 5, 10 hours a week and do whatever they want, you know, with the rest of their life. And, you know, it doesn't always work that way. But, you know, my guess is that there's some people that are very hands-on with a franchise model, and there are some people that already have a lot going on, and they just want to find a way to get a return on their money. So maybe they want to have a lower time investment in this.
Yeah, it's most of my people, I'd say the majority of them, excuse me, are probably looking at doing just that, is that they don't want to buy themselves a job, essentially. They're looking towards the future and how I can, and you know, cut down on the amount of hours I'm putting in while still bringing in some good money. So you'd be looking at those semi-passive business models on that. Not all franchises will allow that. So we have to look at certain franchises that not only allow that, but also have people already doing it. So when you start investigating that franchise, you get a good feel for that business and how the other semi-passive owners are doing that on there. As long as you are really coachable, I think you'd make a good franchisee. Different ones are going to have different criteria for your background. So obviously, if you go into like a Sandler sales training franchise, you better have some sales background in there, mm-hmm. or don't go near that one on that one. But that's one of the things that I help people do is realize what their background is and how to get into that. But people get into this because they don't necessarily have the latest, greatest idea. They don't want to start from scratch and build up their own business. They want to have that proven model already in there, that proven playbook right there for them, so they can step in and do it, find a way to hire a manager, find out how much the franchise is going to help you find that manager for you. When you're looking at electrical services or plumbing services, that's a great thing to look at because those usually require a master electrician or a master plumber. So that's where the franchise is going to realize you don't necessarily know where to find those people, so they're going to help you do it. So these are the sort of things that you look for when you're getting into a franchise, and the mindset that my people have had is that they don't want to find it, or they don't want to buy themselves a job. They don't have the latest, greatest idea. They don't want to start from scratch. They're willing to pay that franchise fee on that in order to get all that information ahead so they can get to where they want to be 2 to 3 years quicker than if they were to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Boy, there's a ton of value to having all those things custom baked and ready and given to you, you know, and, you know, sure, I'm sure you can put your own stamp on it given the franchise rules, but, you know, that way you're not building all these systems from scratch. I mean, Rory, you know, you worked into, I don't know if Nexthome would be considered a franchise model.
It is, yep.
It is. Okay, it is, yep. It's a franchise model. So Rory's a franchisee right there.
And you know, when you're talking about these different models of franchises, there's a diversity not just in the businesses and the industries that they're in, but also kind of in the level of support and the internal business models and how things go. You know, there are some franchises that might just lend themselves a brand name and a little bit of systems, but really it's up to you as the owner to kind of take it and implement it. There are other franchise arrangements where the franchisor is actually doing a lot of for you in building up marketing channels, sales channels, systems. Some franchisors control a lot of what you're doing internally. Some of them are pretty hands off. So in addition to just shopping around to find something that's in your industry that you're looking for, how does somebody, once this idea is planted in their head, how do they start searching and really sifting through the different franchise opportunities that are out there?
Well, Rory, I'd have to say that the best and less confusing and simplest way is just to go out there and find yourself a franchise consultant to help you out on that one. On that, just keep in mind that the franchise consultants do not charge clients for their services. We don't charge people. If they decide to, our clients decide to invest in a franchise, we introduce them to the franchisor, pays us a referral fee. Now, if you don't want to get a consultant, if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you want to go out there and do it yourself, it's going to be a little bit of a process to go through to find the franchises that are a good fit for you. Because there's a few things you're going to need to want to look for there. Obviously, is what are their requirements for financially? Almost every franchise has a requirement for a net worth on there, meaning they don't want you to run out of money before that franchise gets up and running. Each different franchise, Rory, as you indicate, has going to have different levels of services. So you've got about 5,000 franchises out there in the U.S. today. So you can go through, and there's ways that you can do it yourself. I mean, you don't have to necessarily get a consultant. We'll help you on that. We've got lots of good services that will help you with funding services, franchise attorneys, CPAs, the whole bit. But if you want to do it yourself, start off with the International Franchise Association, IFA.org. And go there and start gathering some great information on franchising. You just familiarize yourself with the franchise industry in general. And then, you know, you can pick out a few franchises from there. I didn't know anything about consultants when I first started, and I just went click happy all over the internet and said, that looks like a good business. That looks like a good business. And then I had all of these franchise development people, you know, calling me up, and I'm like, man, do I go through and pick all these? How do I decide what's what? I finally got a whole franchise consultant, and they helped me narrow it down. So when you're out there doing it for yourself, you have to think about where have you been? So where have you been means, what are you bringing to the table? What knowledge that you bring, skill sets, what do you bring to the table on that? And how does it compare to what that franchise is looking for in a particular person on that? And where are you at now? So basically, you know, how much time are you ready to invest? How much money are you ready to invest on that? And then where do you want to be 5 to 10 years from now? So what do you see that franchise doing for you? And as you two both, especially Rory, you alluded to, is like, what kind of services is that franchise providing to you? Are they just going to give you the playbook and say, here you go, if you need help, give me a call? or there's some out there that are going to actually have that call center that'll actually take a more proactive approach and actually start calling people on a regular basis, getting business for you, and then showing you, okay, this is the business we have for you today. These people want you to stop by, say hello, and tell them what you can do for them. So there, as you indicated, Rory, many different levels of service, many different things a franchise can do for you. You just have to start sifting through them, and IFA.org, International Franchise Association. If you don't want to use a consultant, you want to do it yourself, probably your best place to start in that, and just starting to get familiar with the franchise industry itself.
Mm-hmm. You said there's about 5,000. That I'm surprised. I thought there were a lot more. That's a very finite and manageable number if one is investigating franchises. You know, would you recommend somebody that maybe is looking in this space to get into franchise categories that they're interested in, or would you recommend that people get into the franchises that have the best upside potential?
Get into franchises, Jason, that you feel good about, basically on that. If the thing that you feel the best about is making money, then it really doesn't make too much matter. It doesn't matter too much. It doesn't make too much difference on that. But get into ones that you feel good about, that you would be comfortable investing in, and what industry you would be comfortable investing in. You don't have to know the industry that you're getting involved in, but get to know it. Mm-hmm. To begin with. A lot of my folks, like one of my real estate investors just got into the electrical services business. You know, they had a general idea of what the electrical services business is, but they, in the industry in general, they didn't know a whole lot about. But along the way, we educated them. We got them education on that. They looked into that. And the most important thing to do is when you are investigating these franchises is really talk to the franchisees that are currently running that business. At some point in time, you'll get the franchise disclosure documents. You'll have that list of franchisees that are in there. The franchise is going to help you connect with those different franchises in there, but you got the franchise that's going to help you grow, and it's going to tell you all about their business. You want to validate that with the franchisees. So you're doing a couple different things. You're validating everything that franchise told you, and those franchisees are brutally honest. I'll let you know that up front. They'll tell you, and they're not always having a good day when you call them. So you'll get the. I've had quite a few good stories out of my candidates calling the franchisee, and they'll let you know on that, really what's going on, how the franchise is helping them, what are they doing, if you had to do it all over again, would you? But one of the most important things is you are making friends along the way. So not only is that franchise going to help you grow, but as you indicated, Jason, the different territories, they give specific territories. So those franchisees, for the most part, for most of the franchises, are not competing with each other. So everybody is helping themselves grow, helping each other grow and build that business up. So you're making a lot of friends that are going to help you along the way.
It's good to build community in whatever you're doing. You know, we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, finding your cohort of people that you could relate to, you could ask questions of, you could trust, maybe you could become friends with them. And this is no different. I mean, if these are non-overlapping territories, my hunch is there's a lot of people that want to connect with other folks that are willing to invest in that same franchise and learn from each other and learn what's working in this part of the country or that part of the country, or even regionally. You know, again, going back to my last position, I remember that there were the franchise owners that would all get together within a certain region, and there'd be a manager of those people where somehow they're all connected, but they would put money into co-op funds for like a broader marketing campaign, but they'd all have to vote on it. And that's where you realize that some people have different opinions from other people, but you know, that could be a way where there's some strength in numbers. Are there some trendy franchises that are really growing right now? I mean, we're recording this in 2024. We don't want to date ourselves too much with something that's not going to be relevant in a couple of years. But you must see some things that kind of either come and go or that pop up from out of nowhere that suddenly blossom into its a whole new category, right?
We have. We've seen a few trends back in the day. I would say that before the big COVID thing, restaurants were really nice and a lot of fun, but the biggest trend that we had back then before that was yogurt, of all things. Yogurt mm-hmm. really was a big trend for a while. It died out after a while because there's so many different yogurt franchises that just kept popping up. Everybody thought this would be the greatest thing, and it, unfortunately, it was not for a lot of people in there. A few of them held out. But after that, in the last probably 3 years, I can't say I've seen anything new out there as far as trends. My trends over the last 3 years have been more towards the essential services. The people got a little bit worried back then during COVID, because things that required you walking into a building had a few challenges during that time period. However, those things that people always needed, always wanted, and that's not just essential home services on there with the electrical, the HVAC, but you know, your senior care franchises, your tutoring franchises, your corporate cleaning franchises were the businesses that were staying open. They had to be cleaned more often. They're already cleaned on a regular basis, but now they're cleaned out more often. So my trends have been towards really getting those services where it doesn't matter what the economy is doing, doesn't matter what's going on out there. If it's broke and it's got to be fixed, it's got to be fixed now. Those are the types of things that I've been seeing a big trend towards.
And, you know, I don't want to overgeneralize, but, you know, when we work on our properties, one trend we've certainly noticed is that some of those essential contractors, even if they're the most skilled technical workers, even if they are the friendliest people when you see them, getting a hold of them and getting their attention and just kind of having them run their business, it's not really their strong suit. Is there an opportunity for those types of personalities to, you know, to take their business and kind of take it into a franchise system where somebody might provide that marketing, sales, and back office operational support in a way that would kind of allow them to focus on what they're good at?
Oh, absolutely, Rory. Absolutely. I've turned a couple different businesses into franchises on that. And that's a great way to do it. If you reach the plateau and you find that you are, like you indicated, Rory, you really like doing working in the business, but you're not really good at working on the business, then that's a good way to get into a franchise system and start learning what their systems do. At that point in time, you may still want to work in the business, and then you would work with the franchisor to help you find a manager or salesperson that is better at that portion of the business, where they're out and about in the community, getting to know everybody and building that business up while you do the work itself. Conversely, if you're getting tired of working in the business itself and you want to, you know, step into a management role, then that's another way. And the franchise will go through all those systems and processes so that you can do that. Most of the franchises out there, when you're getting into them, don't want you working in the business. They're really looking for people to work on that business, to build that business up, hire other people to do that for you. But turning your business into a franchise is a really great way, Rory, to actually get that business built up to the next level if you find that you hit a plateau.
Greg, let's talk about some of the numbers involved here. And, you know, real estate investors love using other people's money to make money for themselves, right? You mentioned some net worth numbers earlier. So when you hear from people that are looking to get into the franchise space, what are those net worth ballparks that people really need to be at, you know, for different levels of franchises? I realize that, you know, Dunkin', McDonald's, like the Cadillacs of franchises, probably have much more stringent requirements than like a new and up and coming service business or restaurant. But, you know, can you give us a sense as to how much people need to show on their personal balance sheet to be able to get into a franchise?
Oh, yes, Jason, that's very easy. When you're looking into a brick and mortar type business itself, some of them go as low as $300,000, but on average, they're looking for about a $500,000 net worth on that. And figuring if you're getting into a brick and mortar, and if you go the SBA route, you're probably doing 7A, so you're probably having to come up with $20,000 on that one. So figure probably, you know, if you're looking at something that runs you $500,000, you're going to need about $100,000 cash. So $500,000 net worth, $100,000 cash for a brick and mortar. You can get into a lot of different ones in that respect. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, when we're looking at the service industry franchises, since most of those are right around $150,000, give or take or so, we don't need more than $200,000 or so in net worth on that one. And in all reality, you can go probably as SBA Express loan and put down $20,000. I think that's what the Express loan is going for, 17.5 or 18.5 or something like that for a down payment. So you don't need more than about $20,000 cash and a couple $100,000 net worth for most of the services industry. Some of the ones that are more equipment intensive, they're probably going to want to see, you know, still about a $300,000 net worth or so. But $200,000, $300,000, you know, you've got $50,000 in cash or so, you're good to go.
So it's a relatively low entry point for people that maybe have some years of working experience. I know if you're just starting out after college in your early 20s, you might look at that and say, whoa, I don't have those numbers. But, you know, trust me, if you work for 10, 20 years, like, and start saving some up and, you know, start building net worth, like, you know, you have those numbers somewhere. You mentioned SBA. Is that kind of the route that most people take when they're looking to finance the rest of, you know, the cost to get into the business?
About 50-50. Most of my investors like using other people's money on that. So they generally will go the SBA route, and our SBA people are really good. Getting funding for a franchise is pretty simple. The franchise has that proven track record of success, so that's no big deal. The only thing that comes to play is your credit score on that. So a lot of my investors like to use other people's money. The other half of my people don't like going into debt, so they've been using their 401ks from previous employers, mind you. You can't use the current employer's 401k or IRA because you've got to roll that over into a self-directed 401k. That's what I did to start my business, was I used my 401k plan and I rolled that over to self-directed 401k. So about half my people do that. They don't want to go into debt. Really good way to do it. Definitely a personal decision one way or the other on that one. But about 50-50 right now.
Rory, we've spoken with people on this about self-directed IRAs and using that for real estate. Isn't there some material contribution question that has come up? Am I making that up?
I'm not sure what you mean there, but one of the key limitations with using a self-directed for real estate investing is you actually have to be hands-off of the property. So a lot of people who get into real estate because they want to put in some elbow grease on their own, they want to be able to touch and see and visit the properties, it's not a good fit for them. I'm entirely unfamiliar with the rules for self-directeds when you open up a franchise agreement. So that caught my attention in these comments to hear that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, Rory, absolutely. Quite a few people have done it. I did that with mine. So I don't know necessarily of any stringent rules on that, other than the fact that you've got to be part of the business. And you've got to be on that business plan and be on that payroll. Other than that, that's pretty much it.
What are some mistakes people make when they want to get into this space? I'm guessing that if somebody decides they want to try to get into the franchise space, they jump headfirst in, and next thing you know, they're filling out inquiry forms everywhere, and you know, maybe they'll jump at the first opportunity that comes their way, and that might not be the right answer.
True. So you're talking about what's trending or what's in fashion. Don't let that cloud your judgment. Look at them. I mean, there's some good ones that have come out there in the past. So if you got into Orange Theory when it first came out, that was trending when it first came out, but it really took off. But the question is, at that point, it was how many other trending ones did they have in that same market that didn't take off? So don't let what's in fashion cloud your judgment on that one. We're talking about funding. Don't dismiss funding. Always keep funding in mind if you want to do that route. Plenty of funding people that are there. Industries, get to know whatever industry that you want to get involved in, get to know that industry quite well on that one. You don't have to be an expert in an industry. You don't have to know anything about it. But if it's something that is of interest to you, make sure you get to know what that industry is all about before you sign on the dotted line on there. We've talked about it before. Always talk to as many franchisees as possible before you get into the franchise agreement. Always validate and verify everything that you have learned from that franchisor. I provide a list of questions to my people for the franchisors and the franchisees, so we make certain that we go through all of those questions together. Take advantage of local experts, always. You know, like yourselves, local experts in real estate and real estate law, that sort of thing. SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, your local SCORE chapter. That is, I've used those folks. That's how I use. When I was looking at my different franchises, I ran it by them. Look them up. It should be in your area. Those are good free advisors to get involved in. Also, the people that I provide you with, you know, if you need a CPA, need funding people, those are all experts. So they'll go through the different things with you. The franchise attorney, always utilize all those attorneys on that. So take advantage of that as much as possible. Always, and I've got a list of a few different mistakes to avoid on my website. You can download that paper as well.
Yeah, we'll link that up in the show notes here. Rory, I'm sure that you have some legal questions about this. You know, when you think about what should somebody be doing to protect themselves, or what questions should they be asking or having an attorney look at when they get these franchise papers and agreements?
Well, as Greg alluded to, there are attorneys that specialize in franchises because that agreement is lengthy, and that agreement is really important to get just right. When I talk about agreements in any form, I always say that going through the exercise of negotiating and understanding the agreement is important, not just to protect yourself in disputes, but so that both sides of the agreement understand and have the right expectations of what's going on. So the franchisor is going to have some expectations of you as a franchisee, and you're going to have some of the franchisor. So walk through it and understand and make sure that you really are on the same page, and you'll avoid a lot of heartache and legal strife if you go through that agreement and take the time to do it. I know there are some waiting periods that you can't just be given an agreement and be expected to sign it and have it be valid right away. There are some cooling off periods that are required by law. I'm not an expert in that, but definitely consult with an attorney who specializes specifically in franchises, because it is a specific area of the law.
I should say I'm super impressed by your award cabinet back there, Greg. I see a title belt, and oddly enough, this episode's coming out during WrestleMania season this year. So it looks like you're a champion of something. What is that? FCC? What is that?
That's when I was with the franchise consulting company. I was a number one consultant for placing people into franchises.
There we go. Look, number one consultant right there. See, I knew we had the expert on this podcast. You might have to face The Rock for that title, you know, this year. I don't know. It's coming after you.
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't we wrap things up with the three questions we ask of all of our guests at the end of this podcast, just to get to know you a little bit better. And then you can tell everyone how people can learn more about you. And we'll obviously link everything up in the show notes. So, Greg, this might be an obvious question, so you could answer it the way we think you might, or give us a curveball with a different way to answer it. But if you can get on stage for half an hour and talk about any subject in the world with zero preparation, what would that be?
Well, yeah, the franchising is the obvious one, but probably the other one that's not so obvious is self-sustaining living.
Self-sustaining living, like growing your own things and having a farm and composting and whatnot?
Yeah, that's what we do here. So when I'm not doing the franchising thing, I'm outside working on the animals. So we have the ducks, we have the geese, we have the turkeys, we have the chickens, we have the rabbits, we have the berries, we have the fruit, we have the veggies. So we grow a lot of our own stuff, and then we've got deer around here. We'll hunt those. So most of the food that we get is self-sustaining around in this area.
Wow.
So that we grow our own. So should anything happen, we've got a good supply of food already coming in. Love talking about that. I love doing that. Definitely passionate.
Wow. That's great. We see on your Instagram a lot of your animals there. So if you want to go over to Greg's Instagram, we'll also link that up, and you can see him out in the farm. Second question, tell us something that happened early in your life or career that impacts the way that you're working today.
You know, the biggest thing was when I first started getting a job back in the 70s, kind of dating myself there, but we all got a job. Most of us then back then got a job at fast food places. Well, my one was Taco Bell. Of all things, I love Mexican food, and they were hiring, and I'm like, okay, cool, we'll do that. And then I moved up in Taco Bell. Well, unknown to me at the time, as I moved up in that Taco Bell and I started managing Taco Bells for this particular lady who owned these Taco Bells, I was working for a master franchisor. So that got my whole franchise thing started, and I would never have known anything about franchising had I not gotten that job at Taco Bell and managed this lady's. She had 50 Taco Bell restaurants around the Woodland, California, Sacramento, California area out there, and I managed all hers. And that's when I got my first foray into franchising, and I thought, this is great. I can walk into anyone I wanted to. They've got the playbook in there. They got it handy. So I just took off as a manager, built up all the restaurants for her, had a really fun time doing that. And that's what led me back to the franchising world.
Wow. You know, you hear a lot about fast food as, you know, kind of an entry-level job or a low-income position, but, you know, it's interesting that you, and I'm probably sure that other people, parlay that into a career, you know, a career path where either they see what the owner is doing and they want to aspire to that, or they work their way up to a territory manager role, and they see the inner workings of the organization beyond just that one location. That's fantastic. Final question. Tell us something that you are listening to or watching or reading these days.
Zig Ziglar. I like reading Zig Ziglar on that, because, you know, when before I got into this and before I got into my franchise itself, I was a restaurant manager for 15 years and then an engineer for 15 years. And my first franchise that I got into was a communications consulting franchise where I went out and helped business owners improve their telecommunications needs. And I got to tell you that I fell flat on my face when I first started on that one because it was sales. It was a lot of sales where you had to convince somebody were something that was not broken. You had to convince them that it actually was and that you could improve on it. So that really got me thinking that I'm not real good at that sort of thing. I give them a presentation, I'd show them what it was, and they'd say no. And as an engineer, it's like, okay, I gave you all the data. You said no, we're good. I'm out of here. And Dennis Schooley, who ran the franchise, he goes, Greg, they're always going to say no to start with. Everyone's going to say no. This is what you do after they say no. You're helping these people. You got to realize that. So I read Zig Ziglar's book, and I really like reading him. Good Christian fella who really shows that sales is something you do with somebody and not to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Classic author in this space for mindset and for growth and for sales. Zig's been around for a long time. The books are still relevant today. That's a great answer. Well, thank you, Greg. How can people learn more about you if they want to either work with you as a consultant as they're building up their franchise business or just want to learn about the space and figure out exactly if this is right for them?
You come to my website, franchisemaven.com. That's franchise, M-A-V as in Victor, E-N.com. Email me at greg@franchisemaven.com or just pick up the phone and give me a call at 361-772-6401.
There we go. We get a phone number also, Rory. We don't get those on these on these podcasts all that much. But, you know, hey, Greg is a classic businessman. He said he started in the 70s, cited Zig Ziglar. This is the way you do it sometimes. I mean, like, we have generations of people that don't want to talk to each other, right? They don't want to pick the phone up. So sometimes you get pick the phone up and you actually get some good information from it. Rory, where can people learn about you?
Well, if they want to go to the website, which is a little bit different, just go to rorygill.com and you'll see the different ways that you can get in touch with me, including giving me a call. You can see the different ways that I can help you out and give some legal counsel.
And if you would like to be a guest on this podcast, you can go to realestatelawpodcast.com, fill out our form. You can listen to past episodes there. You can go to YouTube as well and watch past episodes. You can comment, and we love your comments. We love 5-star reviews. If you listen to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, they really go far in helping get our message out to lots of people. Greg Moore, our franchise expert, the franchise maven, thank you for all of your time today. Thank you for really digging into this this opportunity that, you know, lots of people want to get into. Real estate investors want to diversify their holdings, and franchises is something that people should consider. So thank you for opening up that opportunity to us and for being that trusted expert.
I appreciate you having me, gentlemen.
All right. And well, thank you. Thank you for listening.